All right. It is nice to be back. As Dan was saying, and as Mr. Shamlin said, Betsy and I were here in Lubbock for, what, 23 years or so? 21 years. We left about 8 years ago as well. I was born in Hereford, since we're doing a little history lesson, so I'm a South Plains boy myself. I did not build anything that's in this room, but I did live in a house that Dan built, so maybe that counts as well. Maybe I've watched Dan build this. I could see myself just standing there watching as he was doing it. But it is nice to be back. It's always amazing to me to see how God works services out, because I think the message that Dan gave, and we didn't talk about what we were going to talk about, but we'll build on top of that. The special music was a great introduction to what I'll talk about as well. So it's always fun to see how God works things out and puts our services together for us. So even from the time I was a kid, I always have enjoyed and been intrigued by the weather, specifically storms. So I loved, especially out here where you could see forever when the storm was rolling in from the west. I would like to be out and just kind of watch it come in. I would be the person who would sit in front of the TV and watch Ron Roberts for, 3 hours as he interrupted all the TV shows, watching the news coverage. If there's a hurricane, I'm watching the Weather Channel. I like weather, and I like being prepared as well. And so whenever a storm was around, I wanted to be prepared for it. And so I enjoyed doing that. But I think there's a different mindset. Like I said, I like being prepared. So I think one of the reasons I do is because when we're prepared for something, we feel like we can take action. Sometimes it's those storms that hit us in the middle of the night that we weren't aware of that caused us some anxiety and some nerves. Jesus warned us as his disciples that we were going to have storms in our lives. So let's go to Matthew chapter 7. And let's take a look at that, where he talks about this. Matthew chapter 7. And we'll read verses 24 and 25. Matthew chapter 7, and let's read verses 24 and 25. Jesus says, "Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house. And it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock." So we see here that Jesus is telling us that life is not going to be easy, right? We build our faith, we build our trust in Jesus Christ, but that doesn't mean we just have sunshine and beach all the time. He says, no, you're going to have rain and wind and storms, and he uses that term, it's going to beat on that house. Many times in our spiritual life, there are storms that we can prepare for, storms that we're aware of that are coming. For example, we know in John 17, Jesus told us before on that night before he was arrested, he says, the world will hate you if you follow me, because the world has hated him. And so we kind of prepare for that. We know that in this world, we're going to stand out. We're going to be different. We may be persecuted for things. We may have issues with work or neighbors or whatever it may be. We're prepared for that. We know that's a storm that's just out there. We know in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12, Paul told Timothy that all who seek to live a godly life will suffer persecution. Again, it's a storm that we understand is coming. When we make that commitment to God, we kind of know it's part of the agreement. There's some things that are going to happen to us. But there are also storms that hit us in our life kind of out of nowhere. Things that we aren't prepared for. Things that we weren't necessarily ready for. These are the most damaging storms, because just like a physical storm that can come out of nowhere and can cause damage because, we have our chairs on the porch, and if we know the storm's coming, we'll put them away. But when we don't know, they get blown down the road or whatever, right? There's more damage on storms that we don't know about. And it's the same thing spiritually. Sometimes the storms that hit us in our lives that we aren't prepared for can create the most fear and uncertainty in our life. And specifically, they can cause an opportunity for a seed of doubt to be planted. a seed of doubt. This message I actually gave in Dallas during the Days of Unleavened Bread. And it was a message, as I told them, it was a message that I'd been working on in my head for over a year. Because a year, now it's a year and a half or so ago, in our family's life, we had a sudden, unexpected storm hit our life. Our oldest daughter, who's not here today, because she's at home tending to her hurt dog, making sure he heals up well. But within a matter of days, and she, about the time she was 14 years old, she's 19 now, about when she was 14, she started having health issues. And about a year and a half ago in late February, within a matter of a couple of days, she suddenly could not walk anymore. She was in a wheelchair. No control over her legs. Came out of absolutely nowhere. And spent months, several months, you know, her and I went to Phoenix to see a doctor. I mean, just, it was obviously a huge unexpected event. And we'll talk more about that as it goes on. But that's kind of the root of where this message came from. Because of these storms that just unexpectedly hit our life. And again, the problem with these storms is that idea of doubt. And what I talked about during the Days of Unleavened Bread, which I believe still apply now because it's not just for one time a year, is doubt is like that little piece of leaven. A little piece of doubt in your life will grow. And if that doubt is left to grow, that it can begin to take your life over. And it can ruin your relationship with God if you allow that little piece of doubt to continue to grow unchecked. And so when I was thinking about what message am I going to give here in Lubbock, this one came to mind because, number one, there are still storms all over the place. We got through, as you'll hear, there was a conclusion to that storm that started a year and a half ago, but that wasn't the last storm in our family's life. We're still in the midst of storms. And I know you are too. I know as a congregation, in the last year or two, you suffered through storms. I know as individuals, in the last weeks and months and years, you've went through storms. My guess is, many of you now are in the middle of a storm. Because that is how life goes. And so, I wanted to give this message today and give you a little bit of background to that. As to why I think this is important. Because again, doubt is what will separate us from God. Doubt will separate you from God. It'll separate you from Jesus Christ. So how do we get rid of it? Because it's something natural, as we're going to see. It's something that natural that arises. It arises in our thoughts and in our minds when things begin to happen in our lives that we're not sure about and we're not sure where they came from. So today what I want to talk about is I want to talk about and remind us the power that doubt can have on our lives, how it can negatively affect our relationship with God. But more importantly, I want us to talk about what causes it, how it spiritually damages us, and then most importantly, well, then how do we overcome it? How do we overcome it and not allow it to overtake our lives? Because these storms are going to continue to roll in. That's a certainty. That's a certainty in life. So that's where we're going to go today. That's where we're going to go. So what causes the doubt? Well, like we said, storms. These storms that come up in our life, they create the doubt. How do you know if you have doubt? Well, it's as simple as this. Have you ever thought in the midst of a storm, have you ever said, why is God letting this happen? That's a little bit of doubt that's popped into your mind. You see, sometimes doubt is not this big thing of like, I don't believe in God anymore, or, you know, I'm walking away. No, doubt starts very small of like, God, why are you letting this happen? This can't be part of your plan. This doesn't make sense to me. Why are you letting it happen? It starts that small. Again, whenever Avery was in a wheelchair suddenly overnight, that thought came into my mind plenty of times. Why, God, are you letting this happen? What good can come of this? You know, Jesus used the word doubt one time in his 3.5 years here in his ministry. But I think, as you'll see, it was a very meaningful time. So let's go to Matthew chapter 14. If you're still there, just turn over a few pages. We'll go to Matthew 14. And we're going to read the story of Jesus walking on the water. Matthew 14, and it begins in verse 22. So we'll start there. We'll read this story in full. Beginning in verse 22. It says, immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he sent the multitudes away. That should immediately stand out to you. Jesus says he made them get into the boat. And as we go through the story, I think we all know the story, what happens to the disciples in that boat. Jesus was not unaware that there was about to be a storm in the middle of the Sea of Galilee. I'm convinced he wasn't taken, you know, shocked by that. But he made his disciples get in that boat to get on the sea to go into that storm. Interesting. Just remember that. Think about that. When he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. And when evening came, he was alone. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It's a ghost." And they cried out for fear. Now, if you just think about it, to me, just as a pause there, this just makes me laugh. I mean, the disciples are like, it's a ghost. I mean, we think of the disciples and the characters we read in the Bible as, you know, these people on this different spiritual plane. I mean, they're like, it's a ghost. I mean, right? Because they see someone walking on the water. They're not just like me, like, oh, that's Jesus, it's the Messiah. They're scared. They have no idea what's going on. So that just, to me, that's nothing about the sermon on this one. That's just a pause. I just think that's funny, right? Because that's their first instinct. We're very much like them, right? We think and do some silly things. But, continuing, it says, when the disciples saw, so they saw it as a ghost, verse 27, but immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." So Peter, being Peter, immediately kind of separates himself and says, "All right, I think it's you, but if it's you, hey, let me do this too." And so Jesus says, "Come." And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid and began to sink. He cried out, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, "O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" Why did you doubt? This is the only time he uses this phrase, doubt. Now, many times Jesus used the phrase, "O you of little faith." We'll see that a little bit later on. He used that many times, but this is the only time that he connects with it this concept of doubt. And the word there, that doubt, in Greek, it actually means to waver, and really on the context, to waver mentally. So Jesus is saying, why did you waver in your faith? You had faith. You were walking on water. Why did you suddenly waver in that? Why did you change? It's very interesting how he connects these two things. Connecting our lack of faith with our doubt. Now, this word that is translated doubt is actually used only one other time in the New Testament. So hold your spot here in Matthew 13, because we'll come back, and let's go over to Matthew 28. And let's see the connection again. The only other time this word doubt is used, the same word is used in the New Testament, and how it is combining with this concept of faith, and specifically faith in Jesus Christ. Matthew 28:17. So this is after Jesus' death, after his resurrection, after many disciples and many people have seen him. And it says in verse 28 and verse 17, it says, when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. But some doubted. It's that exact same word that Jesus uses in Matthew 14. That there was something that some of the people, whether they didn't see him or maybe they did and they just couldn't take that step that, okay, he's really alive. He's really resurrected. Is this really the same person? And so it says that they doubted. They didn't have the full faith that they needed to in the fact that Jesus Christ was the Messiah, that he was the Son of God. That's the connection in both of these areas, is that he's challenging Peter and then the individuals, that their lack of faith was they doubted that he was the Son of God, that he was the Messiah, which meant he could be as God, could do anything. That was the seed of doubt that was planted. They were doubting who Jesus was. So we have to recognize that whenever we have that seed of doubt, what we are actually doing, whether we know it or not, is we are challenging our own faith in, like, do I really believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Do I really believe that there's God the Father is there? That's what that little bit of doubt is. It's that challenge of, because if we fully believe that, then no matter what is happening to us, we know it's okay. Because we know someone with more power is in control and has a plan and cares about me and cares and loves me. It's when we have that seed of doubt, we lose that thought. And that's what happened to Peter. Because what led Peter to start doubting? He was walking on water. He was walking on the water. He was focused on Jesus Christ, but he began to doubt when he started focusing on the storm. It says that he began to notice that there was waves around him and wind, and the water was splashing on his face, and he was like, I probably shouldn't be standing on water walking now. That's not physically possible. He started thinking about all these things and stopped looking at Jesus. Notice it was nothing that Jesus did. It wasn't that suddenly Jesus left. He was still standing there. He was still right where he was. He had still said, all right, come on over here. Jesus didn't change anything. It was what Peter began to focus on is what changed. So where do you think that thought came from? We have an enemy, right? Our enemy will use any time and anything he can to throw these thoughts out there, just like he did to Adam and Eve. I mean, that's all he did to Adam and Eve was he threw doubt out there. Can you really trust God? And so that quick little seed of doubt throws into Peter's mind of, like, are you really supposed to be walking on water? And he begins to sink. He begins to sink. He was physically sinking in the water. We know in our lives, when we begin to take our eyes off God, off of Jesus Christ, we begin to sink. We probably all experienced that. We begin to sink. But look what happens here. So again, the doubt is what caused him to sink. So why? That's what causes doubt, right? The storms in life, but specifically when we take our eyes off of God, off of Jesus Christ, that allows doubt to come in. Why is it so spiritually dangerous? I think we know the answer to that, but again, we can take these lessons from the story. It's so dangerous because the doubt is what caused Peter to begin sinking. He physically could have lost his life in that moment. That's how dangerous it was. Satan obviously wants us to lose our spiritual life. But what's interesting as we look at the story is Peter recognized immediately that doubt was overtaking him and that he was in trouble. And what did he do? He immediately called out to Jesus. Right? It's kind of what Dan was talking about, just that our natural instinct is we go to God in prayer, right? Something happens and it's like we don't have to think about it. God, help me, whatever it is. That was his instinct. He was spiritually mature enough, even though a few minutes before that he thought it was a ghost, but he was spiritually mature enough to know, okay, I'm in trouble. I need God. I need Jesus. So again, he says that he called out to Jesus. Jesus, save me. Jesus, save me. What did Jesus do? He didn't sit there and give him a sermon on lack of faith. Right? He reached his hand out and immediately pulled him up. And then he gave him a little sermon on lack of faith. But first, he reached out and he saved him. Because again, Jesus was still right where he was. He hadn't left. It's just Peter's eyes went somewhere else. Peter's mind went somewhere else. But as soon as he corrected that, he was able to, Jesus reached out, and it says he pulled it, reached out, and he caught him. Now, let's keep going here in this story because we see a couple of interesting things that I didn't finish the story. In verse 32, let's keep going. It says, and when they had got into the boat, the wind ceased. He saved Peter, and then he calmed the storm. He could have calmed that storm at any moment. He could have made it where the storm didn't even happen. Because the storm, where did it originate? Was it time and chance? Was Satan trying to be annoying? Either way, it didn't matter. I think sometimes in the storms of life, maybe we get bogged down and maybe, well, where's this coming from? The reality is we don't know. We're human beings. Sometimes it is time and chance. Sometimes we have health problems because we just get older. Sometimes we're just at the wrong place at the wrong time and a car hits us. Sometimes Satan's behind it. Sometimes Satan, like with Job, I'm going to do this. But where the storm originates doesn't change anything. We're still in the middle of the storm, and the answer is still the same. But just note that it's important that Jesus let that storm happen, and remember, he put them in the boat to send them into the sea to go into the storm. Which again, I think is very interesting when you think about that. Because a lot of times we pray, it's like, well, you know, God, why are you letting this happen? Well, God's not letting it happen one way or another. He could stop at any time, but there's a lesson to be learned. Peter had to learn this lesson. Verse 33 continues, it says, then those who were in the boat came and worshipped him, saying, truly you are the Son of God. So in a matter of minutes, they go from it's a ghost to you are the Messiah. That's the lesson that was learned as that storm came through. They knew this is the Messiah. This is the Son of God. And it says that they worshiped and they praised him, which is another lesson for us, which is really hard. But we are to remember that we are to praise God in the storm as much as we praise him when the storm's over. So we know where storms come from. We know where doubt comes from. We know it's dangerous. We know all this. So how do we overcome it? Right? That's the important part, right? How do we handle this? How do we overcome it? Well, we follow Jesus' example because he gives us examples of how he handled storms. Let's look at two of them. Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4 and verse 35. Mark 4 and verse 35. It's a very similar story. It says, on the same day when evening had come, he said to them, let us cross over to the other side. So when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was, and other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern, Jesus was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said to him, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? And then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was great calm. But he said to them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? So we see in this example, how did Jesus handle this storm? Because he had no doubt. In fact, he was sleeping. He was so much at peace. It's because, and we know this, he had 100% trust in the Father. He wasn't worried one bit about the storm, about the boat filling up and capsizing and drowning. No. 100% wasn't concerned about that at all. Because he had full trust in God. He understood God's plan. He knew what he was there for. He had that relationship with God. The storm didn't matter to him. And again, so calm that he's sleeping and the disciples are panicking, which we would be doing the same, but he's sleeping because he had full trust, because he knew that God was in control. Now, it's also something as in our own lives. There are many times as we are in a storm that it's okay for us to say, God, I know that you are there and I know that you're in control, but I don't like this and I don't understand it. And that's fair. That's a fair conversation to have with God. But the key is, God, I know you're there and I know you're in control and you'll figure this out. And Jesus Christ had that attitude. And we know that because of how he handled the night of his arrest. Let's go to Luke chapter 22. Look at one more example. Luke chapter 22. Jesus is about to go through the worst storm that any man has ever went through in the history of mankind. And in that 24 hours that was about to proceed. And we see in Luke 22, beginning in verse 42, remember he had went away to pray. He had asked Peter, James, and John to come with him, but they'd fallen asleep. So he was literally just by himself. It was him and God. That's all he had. And he says in verse 42, he comes to God, says he knelt down and he prayed, saying, Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Jesus says, God, I don't want to go through this storm. If there's any way for us not to do this, I'm good with that. That was his prayer. But then it says in verse 43, but then an angel appeared to him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. Jesus went to the Father again with full trust in him of God. I know that you are in control. I know there's a plan. I know we've agreed on this. Is there another option? But I leave that in your hands. And God says, no, there is no option. You will go through this storm, but I'm there. You're not by yourself. And he sent the angel to strengthen him in those next few hours. I am sure during that time, Satan was doing everything in his power to see if he could get Jesus to doubt just a little bit. Because all it would have taken was a little bit of doubt. And God and Christ's plan would have been ruined. But he didn't doubt. He didn't doubt one bit. He put everything in the Father's hands. He focused on the Father. So in the midst of this storm that he was going through, his eyes were on the Father. Again, that is the example he has given us. Where are our eyes? Where are we focused on? Peter wasn't able to do that. He learned the lesson, but Peter wasn't able to do that. And he sunk. So what we know is that, and this is important for us to remember, is that we know that when any storm that we are going through in our life, know that Jesus knows exactly what you're feeling. Because he went through the worst storm in the history of mankind. And again, just as God was there and sent help in that angel, God in Christ, they do the same thing for us. When our eyes are on them, when we're focused on them, they give us the strength. They give us the strength that we need. If we focus on the storm, we drown. It's as simple as that. There were times in those couple of months that, when Avery couldn't walk, and Betsy will share a similar story of, it just felt like it was like I was barely hanging on by like maybe one thread of just like, I can't do this anymore. But every morning would come again, and we'd get through that day. So how do we keep our focus on God then? That's the key to all this. How do we do it? We overcome doubt and fear, and we maintain our focus on God by remembering how we got through the previous storm. Because that's the purpose of all these storms. It's to teach us lessons. Just like the storm taught Peter a lesson and taught all the disciples a lesson. The storms we go through in life teach us lessons. If we focus on how God got us through the last storm, we can get through the storm we're in now. Because when you're in the middle of the storm, all you see is darkness. It's hard to see light. But if you remember what God did for you in that last storm, like that's something you hold on to. That gives you the strength, the ability to keep going. The only reason I was able to kind of keep going during this time was because in May of 23, so this was like April, this was like February to April of 24 when this was going on. In May 1st of 2023, I was in a horrific car accident. A lot of you know about it. And pretty much a miracle was that day that I survived that day. So during this storm going on, I kept going back to that of God. I know you've got this because I'm here. I'm standing here. I'm breathing. I don't understand this. I don't like this, but I know that you are there and you can take care of this. And I firmly believe that because of what I had went through. If I had not went through that, I don't know if I would have had the strength to go through those few months. Because we don't always see the whole picture. That's another problem when we're in a storm. We only see this little sliver of what's going on. God sees the whole picture. We can't see it. So we can't understand Romans 8:28 when it says, all things work together to good for those who love God and are called according to His purpose. When you're in the midst of a storm and something's going really bad, there's nothing good that can come of this. Is your first thought. Nothing good can come of this. But once the storm is over and then you get to see the whole picture, you're like, whoa, I didn't see that. I didn't know that was going on. I didn't see how this will affect other people and help them or whatever it may be. But just like Peter, a lot of times we just see the wind and we just see the waves around us. We have to stay focused on God. And in April, and I get the date wrong, 22nd, Betsy? It was a Sabbath morning in April. Avery stood up and walked. With zero atrophy after sitting in a wheelchair for 2-3 months, just stood up and walked. The storms aren't going away. The storms are not going away. I think they're going to get worse. Because our enemy's mad, and our enemy has limited time, and he knows that. So the storms aren't going away. What we have to decide is, are we going to let doubt spread or are we going to stay focused on God? Like, that's our decision. We get to make that. God won't make us do either one. What I know that he does is he says, hey, I've given you enough evidence, just like Jesus, hey, I'm standing here. You've walked on water. You've done these things. I'm right here. Are you going to keep looking at me or not? Your decision. So we get to decide. Are we going to use the storms in life as an opportunity to worship and praise God and Jesus Christ? Or are we going to let them drown us? That's the decision we get to make. The title of this message is Praise You in the Storm. I'm sorry, Praise You in This Storm. And in closing, we're going to listen to a song. Again, I just thought the special music was a great lead-in, and we'll just bookmark this. So a lot of times you remember music, so if you don't remember anything I've said today, hopefully you'll remember the song that we're going to listen to. This song is written by Casting Crowns. It's been around a while, but there's a little story behind this song. I took Avery to Phoenix in the middle of the time that she couldn't walk to go to an alternative doctor, and we were there for 2 weeks. And we would go every morning and put her in the wheelchair, and we had this little apartment, and rolled her to the car, and, you know, get her in the car, and we would drive about the 10-minute drive to the doctor. And I'd heard this song like the day or so before we left, and it's been around. I'd heard it before, but it spoke to me on this time. And so every day for 2 weeks, I would listen to this song on the way to the appointment. And then we'd get there, and we'd pray, and we'd go to the appointment. And so we did that for 2 weeks without really much progress. She, I think towards the last day or two, she wiggled her toes a couple of times, which we were like, okay, she wiggled her toes. That's good. But anyway, this song got me through those couple of weeks, and I still will turn it on when I need to be reminded of things and reminded to keep my eyes on God and all those things. But hopefully you'll enjoy it. And again, if anything you'll remember is to keep focused on God and remember to praise God in the storm.